Welcome to Auction Talk. Your host is Greg Story, longtime member of the National Auctioneers Association, an accredited auctioneer in real estate and president of Hart G. Auction Service. Now, here's Greg.
Welcome to this edition of Auction Talk. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the history of auctions. Now, auctions are first mentioned by a Greek historian named Herodotus in 500 BC, and he reported that they called them Babylonian wedding auctions. Now, these auctions were held annually for the purpose of selling women, sorry about this, ladies, under the condition that they be married following the purchase. So the true value in many cases related directly to the beauty of the woman. And the less comely maidens, sometimes because they couldn't get bids, had to pay a dowry to be accepted. Now this means that the price paid for a homely girl could actually be a negative figure. So literally the buyer could come out ahead. Now whether or not these auctions were ascending as far as the bids like we have today in this country, or descending, which is called a Dutch reverse today, meaning the price starts high and drops down until somebody bids, this is not recorded. Now, within the Roman Empire, auctions were mainly used for disposing of the spoils of war, or as they called it, auctioning under the spear. Now, the Roman Empire also used auctions to liquidate property and estate goods. Now, these auctions grew to become much more organized with consigners, auction organizers, advertisers, and, of course, auctioneers. Now, they held these at the atrium, which was referred to as the atrium auctionarium. Now, the auctions, as I said, were mainly for the purpose of selling off the spoils of war after a military victory. But this is interesting. They were so organized that business agents were said to accompany the soldiers into battle in order to facilitate and promote expected sales. Now think about this. Here goes the Roman Empire goes out to fight the Greeks or the Gauls or whoever. And, you know, of course the guy didn't wear a business suit, but here comes some little guy with his notepad and he's saying, now don't kill those cows. We want to take them back to Rome to sell them. Or don't destroy those carts. You know, they'll bring a good price. So even though we often think that lawyers, they get a bad rap as being ambulance chasers. But in actuality, the first ones were probably these business managers. Now, the Romans also used auctions to liquidate, as I said, estates and personal property. Emperor Marcus Aurelius, who has made many famous quotes, is said to have auctioned off prize heirlooms and his own prize heirlooms and furniture. Now, it's claimed, now think about this, you people go to auctions a lot, think about this. It's claimed that this auction lasted for 2 months. Now, those of you that stand out in the rain and the cold and what have you for 5-6 hours in January at these farm sales, think about that. Now, probably the most bizarre account of early auctions actually took place in the year 193 A.D., when the entire Roman Empire was put on the auction block after being sacked. Now, aside from these early accounts of the Roman auctions, there also exists evidence of Buddhist monks in China using auctions to fund the creation of the beautiful temples that we see today. Now, this was customary to auction off the property of deceased monks to pay for these temples. The earliest modern era records of auctions appeared in the Oxford Dictionary in 1595. Now, so therefore, the presence of auctions in England preceded this date. Now, how much we don't know. But we go on in the 15th century, King Henry VII of England, he institutes some of the earliest auction laws, including licensing for auctioneers. In the 1600s in colonial America, the pilgrims were known to sell their crops, their produce, and what have you. This all sold at auction. Now, back in England, the London Gazette often reported the auctioning of artwork at coffee houses and taverns. throughout London in the late 17th century. Now think about that in a tavern. Anyway, now soon after the French Revolution, auctions in France came to also be held in taverns and coffee houses to sell art. Now after a few drinks, that, you know, the picture of that gal would probably look a little better. I don't know. Such auctions were held daily, and the important step was that in France, catalogs were even printed. Now, in the early 18th century, the great auction houses that still exist today were created. Sotheby's was created in 1744, and Christie's in 1766. The use of auctions in America got really widespread in the South when slaves were sold at auction. Not a good thing to be put on the block, but part of history. But now auctions were also used to liquidate estates. But oftentimes, now here's it, this is, I find this kind of interesting. Oftentimes the owners of the goods were not disclosed because the current social norms by some people, probably because of the slave auctions, did not look favorably upon auctions. Now, an interesting fact, an interesting fact about the history of the title colonel that is used for auctioneers. This title for an auctioneer actually dates back to the end of the Civil War, when army officers, colonels, as they were, auctioned off surplus and captured goods. Now, some historians say this was to aid in the payment of the war debt. We don't know. Maybe it was to just get rid of the stuff. The term colonel is still used today in many areas of the United States to refer to an auctioneer. So that's stayed with us. Aside from the early modern records of the use of auctions in England and America, auctions were used in the Netherlands and Germany as well in the latter part of the 19th century. Now, auctioning in the Netherlands dates back to 1887, when it was used for the sale of fruits and vegetables. Historians say that farmers, you know, arrived at the local market, discovered a strong demand for their product, and instead of liquidating their produce in the usual customary fashion of selling off to a specific dealer, they decided there was so much demand, they decided to allow the buyers to compete with each other by using an auction. Now, about the same time, fishermen in Germany began to use auctions to sell their catch when arriving in port. Now, these fish auctions allowed the fishermen to rapidly liquidate their catch and spend more time fishing to satisfy consumer demand. Now we come to the 20th century, and auctions were a well-established marketing tool worldwide and have an effect on every part of our society. Every part. Even if you never go to an auction, it affects you. Think about this. Everyone in the United States is influenced every day by the auction method of marketing. How's that? Well, by definition, auctions, you offer something for sale by asking for a price. An offer or a bid is given and accepted. Thus, this forms a contract and a sale. That's an auction. Well, it also sounds like the way our own New York Stock Exchange works, the backbone of our country. Prices fluctuate daily, depending on the demand. Now, you don't have an auctioneer directing the sale, but you do have a bunch of traders, or runners, or I don't know, I'm not sure what they call them, but they're on the floor, and they're doing the same job as an auctioneer. They're saying they have so many shares of this for so much. Somebody hollers out, they'll take them. That's an auction. It's an off-the-wall form of an auction, but it's still an auction. Now, another advent of modern auctioneering is the auction school. No longer does a boy or a girl, I'm not going to be sexist here, no longer does a boy or a girl have to be raised in the profession or work for years to get a chance to show what he or she can do. They can go to one of the many auction schools in the country, and after an intense couple of weeks that's been compared to a special forces boot camp, they can be ready to hit the ground running. Now, the schools only teach you the basics, and it still takes endless hours of practice and hard work. But here's something interesting. The Wall Street Journal a few years ago printed a list of the top 10 businesses to get into, taking account the amount of cash needed to start the business, the amount of business that's available, and the return on your investment. Well, auctioneering made the top 10, folks, so it's not a bad business. But now, this is for you movie buffs out there. Auctions have influenced more than just business. Peter Cecil Wilson was born on March 8, 1913 in England to a wealthy family. His family, they had ties to Buckingham Palace and number 10 Downing Street. Now, in 1936, he went to work at Sotheby's Auction House and ended up as a director and a junior partner. So he must have been a pretty good auctioneer. Now, in 1939, he disappeared from Sotheby's, like most men, young men, who went off to fight the Germans in World War II. Now, while he was in the military, he ended up working in the intelligence branch. He joined MI6 and was a personal friend of Ian Fleming. Now, Ian Fleming, as we all know from James Bond films, he loved the Caribbean. He actually had a house in Jamaica. And, of course, his first big movie, Dr. No, was supposed to take part in Jamaica. Now, let's get back to Peter Wilson. So, he was friends with Ian Fleming. Now, Peter Wilson's identification number with MI6 was, guess what? 007. So, was Ian Fleming's inspiration for the character James Bond actually from an auctioneer? I don't know. You tell me. I find that funny. Now, since many of today's technologies, including, you know, microphones, cars, and planes, didn't exist before the 20th century, auctioneers often faced the challenge of not being heard in large crowds. You know, and if you didn't have that big booming voice, there was no chance of you becoming an auctioneer. The other thing they faced is you had to attract audiences. And these people had to travel over long distances by horse and wagon. So they used to offer perks such as free food, you know, to entice bidders to come. I personally, just a few years ago, was at a big horse auction in New Mexico. I mean, they put them on and they, hey, will you come down and we're going to feed you and everything. They, you know, they're still doing that. That's still used a little bit today. Now, in addition, most auctions were held outside. So start times for the auctions depended a lot on weather conditions. But the history of auctions has always been evolving. And this is most evident today. I used to love to listen, I still love to listen to the old tobacco auctioneers. But sadly, gone are the tobacco auctions, which spawned some of the greatest auctioneers ever, such as F.E. Boone, Lee Aubrey Riggs. Now, Speed Riggs, as he was known, became famous, and for those of you my age, you'll recognize him on radio and TV commercials back in the 50s and 60s. Now, these giants of the industry have been replaced with dedicated men and women with cell phones, PA systems, internet bidding, websites. You know, today's auctions take many forms, but they still represent capitalism and marketing in their finest sense, putting sellers and buyers together to, as we say, sell the earth and everything on it. This has never and will never change. And now for today's mailbox. A question came in from a listener. It seems they bought a car a few months ago at an auction, and they're wondering how long it should take for them to get the title, because they haven't got the title yet. As I've often said, this is one of the reasons it's so important to listen to and read the auction terms. I don't know what was said at the auction as to the title work. At this particular auction, it might have been said that there's no title because it's missing. These are important questions to ask and have clear before you bid. In many states, if an automobile has not been sold in 7 years, then the state purges the title, and you can't even get a copy of it with the VIN number. County clerks can look it up in their computers and see it right there on their screen, but you're dead in the water. You'll have to post a bond, have the vehicle inspected, and apply for a new title. Keep those questions coming in. Tune in again next time to Auction Talk. Thank you.
2,000, now 3,000, now 4, 35, now 4, 4,000, now 5. I need 5,000, I got 5,000 back here, now 6. 5,000, now 6, 55, now 6,000, yeah, 6,000 over here, now 6.
We thank you for tuning in to Auction Talk. Email your auction questions to Greg at hartg@centurytel.net or call 719-384-4797 or go to hartg.com and click on the Auction Talk radio tab. Tune in next time for Auction Talk.
$8,000.